Chazal teaches us that anybody that is present when a Jew leaves the world at the moment of Yetzias Neshama has to do Kriya, must tear his garments. Anybody that experiences being in the presence of a person when his neshama leaves his body is like experiencing the burning of a Sefer Torah. Rashi explains in Shabbos Daf Kufei, Ein lecha odem yisro sheinenu male Torah v'mitzvus k'Sefer Torah. However, the Yerushalmi in Masechet Moed Koton says, "Haraya Sefer Torah Shenisraf." When one actually sees, experiences a Sefer Torah being burned, Korei Hashnayim has to tear his garments twice, not once. Echod al Aksav, ve'echod al Agvilim. He has to tear once for the script, and again for the parchment. So sometimes we experience the demise of a person. Zokin v'sva yomim, older people, and we understand that we tear our garments for the ksav. But when a young person passes away, he barely embarked on this journey, it is then that we have to tear our garments for the gvinim, for the parchment, for the unwritten book. Chaim was so young and so great. He should have blossomed into one of the great people of his generation. He had the potential. So how sad it is to be here at the levay of such a unique and special person. The Ksav Sofer, the great son of the Chassam Sofer, had a sister who passed away at a very young age. And he delivered a hesped at her levaya. And in his hesped, he spoke about the story that Chazal tell in Medrash and Mishle, the great Tanner of Meir Balanes had two little children. Both of them died b'Leil Shabbos Kodesh. His wife Bruria put them to bed, and when Reb Meir came home from shul, his wife asked him, Bruria asked Reb Meir Balanes, the great Tana, if a shoyma has a pekodin, you received an object or something to watch over, and the proper owner of that object, of that pekodin, asks you to give back his pekodin, do you have to give it back or not? Well, Reb Meir says, what is your question? Of course you have to give it back. So Brody asked, do you have to be sorry when you give back that bekotten? And Reb Meir says, why should one be sorry? I mean, you're just a keeper. It's not yours. You give it back besimcha. Maitzoy Shabbos. Bruria takes the man into the room of their two little children. And that man sees his two little children are no longer with him. And he starts to cry. And Bruria asks that man, why are you crying? Two little kids, two little children. And they are no longer amongst the living. So Brody asked the mayor, but I asked you yesterday night, do you have to be sorry when you give back the cotton? They were a pekodin that Kodesh Baruch Hu gave us to keep, to watch over. And now the Bala pekodin came and asked us to give it back. So why are you crying? So Chazal don't say, why did the mayor cry? What was his response? Except Sofer suggested, when you get a pekodin for 30 days, for 2 months, for 6 months, and at the end of this mana pekodin, you have to give it back, you do so b'simcha. But if the owner comes in the middle of the night, knocks on your window, bangs on your door, I want my money back, then you have to ask yourself, why? Why in the middle of the night? Time has not come yet. Maybe he heard that I am not fitting to watch over his money. What did he hear about me? Maybe I'm not doing my job. That is why the mayor cried. Why so fast? Why so young? But except Seifu went on to explain, but Chazal do not tell us why the mayor cried. All they do tell us is, what was the question of Bruria? We must understand that by HaKadosh Baruch Hu it is never before the time. Only HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows when each and every one of us fulfilled his mission, when the proper time has come. This world is merely a stage, one stage, a stage of preparation. Ha'olam hazeh domeh leprozdor. This is only a passage. It is only a passageway to the palace, to the world to come. That is the real destiny. Some people fulfill their mission in a very young age, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows when their time has come. Chaim fulfilled his mission with excellence. And Chaim has gone home. Home to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Home to Gan Eden. Home to the Traklin. His prozdor was a short one. Maybe it wasn't that short, but he was very fast. He has accomplished his mission. My Kodesh Baruch Hu took him home. Chaim, you have inspired so many people. You have changed so many lives. People you have never known. but they knew you. And in your suffering, you reached out to countless people, changed their lives, perhaps changed their lives forever, made them better people, greater people, more caring, more sensitive. You instilled in them such a tremendous emuna and bitochen and tmimus you never knew, but I think now you know. Now you will be seeing all those people that are your talmidim, that have learned so much from you. Some people are broken by pain. Some people are torn asunder by suffering. Some people are elevated by suffering and pain. Chaim was one of those few that were elevated by suffering, by pain, and he reached unbelievable heights. His pain was indescribable. And from day to day, he reached greater heights in Kabbalah Yisur and Biyahva, in Emunah, in Betochen. I visited him a few months ago. It was heartbreaking on one hand, elevating on the other hand, to see him, his wife, his children. With such a beautiful smile on his face. Kabbalah Yisurim bi'ahava. And with such a tmimus deka emuna, I came away inspired, elevated, and heartbroken. It's been a year or so that I have been recording a shiur every week. And every week at the beginning of the shiur, I said that this shiur is dedicated to the refuah shleima of Chaim Yisochar ben Chaim Moshe. Chaim, the shiur will go on. I have to record the shiur tomorrow. It will be heart-wrenching to say that this shiur is dedicated L'ilui Nishmas Yechayim Yisochar ben Yechiel. I don't know how I will make that change of phrase. But the shiur will go on. Your Torah will go on. And Chaim will be living forever in the hearts of your family, your friends, all those people whose life has been changed by your suffering. Some people live forever. And Chaim will live forever. Because he has inspired so many people, taught so much emuna, so much tmimus, so much good, so much caring. Shiyanuach b'sholom al mishkavoy. Chaim b'yameletz yosher, for your wonderful family, for your wife and beautiful children, father, mother who loved you with all their hearts, cared for you, your siblings, all those people you inspired. We desperately need what you had to offer. Ahavas Reim, Kvoit Chaveirim, Tuv Lev, midot tovot. Be a meretz yosha for your family, for your friends, for the community, and for Klal Yisrael. We should be zoche bekorif to tchias amesim. Yakitzu v'yaranenu shoich niyof. V'yavola ha'mores lo netzach mamocho Hashem dimo v'yal korponim. Amen v'amen.
Together very soon in Eretz Yisrael, but it wasn't supposed to be like this. You wrote an email just a few weeks ago. I really hope to take you up on your offer of a rikud in Yerushalayim, the Koro of Mamish. But the Ribono Shel Olam had other plans, and over the past year and a half, you've been the biggest Rebbe to all of us, teaching us new heights of emuna, levels that we couldn't even dream of. While cognitively we know that this temporary olam is only a passageway to the next eternal world, the reality is that this passageway, this gesher tzar, the connection of this world to the Olam HaElyon, the bridge between Yerushalayim Shalmata and Yerushalayim Shalmata, is an extremely narrow passageway and so often ignored by us. But Chaim, in your short lifetime, did you make this passageway so wide, make this passageway, this gesher, a connector to the Olam HaElyon, which you lived with in such a real way? What an outlook of depth, as you always said, Mamish, the deepest, Omek HaDavar. And with your smile, your laugh, your song, your energy, your idealism, your sensitivity, you had such an incredible ability of connecting everyone around you with this perspective, blowing the roof off of this world and living a life in which Yerushalayim Shalmala and Yerushalayim Shalmata are united into one. The Yomim Tovim for you weren't just enjoyable days. They were exciting days with unique opportunities for growth. As you wrote before Hanukkah this year, I saw this amazing teaching over Shabbos, and as we ready ourselves to light our menorahs and bring the light of Hashem into our homes and into the world, I thought this teaching from the Lubavitcher Rebbe was a real gewalt I needed to share. The Rebbe says, so many times we ask ourselves, what do we need? But how often do we ask ourselves, what are we needed for? Wow, 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 how amazing is that? You wrote. Just a few weeks ago, at a time that you were going through the most agonizing yisurin imaginable, instead of focusing on yourself, you called upon everyone around you to add simcha, as you wrote, As I sit in Sloan getting a chemo, I thought it would be a great time to send you a teaching I was thinking of. Haman tried to come and annihilate the Jewish people. We respond to Haman by countering exactly what he wanted to do. He wanted to take life, so in Adar we respond by giving life. How do we do that? By increasing simcha, by giving life to the Jewish soul. Let us try to not only increase the simcha in our lives, but in the lives of all around us. Let's try and give a new start, a new life to all of those that need it by giving a smile or saying a kind word or a joke or just even listening to someone who needs to let some things out. Let us use the koach of simcha to make sure these days of Purim will never pass from amongst the Jews, nor shall their memory depart from their descendants. Good Chodesh, good Purim, Chaim Yisachar. Who can forget your famous words at Malav Malka, while we had the privilege of being with you at Shalavim? Settle down, we'll get back into it in a few minutes. And now as you settle down, and have returned to Eretz Yisrael, we ask you to pour out your heart with Shira in front of the Kisei HaKavod. How can your Shira not shake the heavens and beg the Ribono Shel Olam to bring the Gula Shleima, which you sing about, Lo Yareyu V'lo Yashchisu B'kol Har Kachi Ki Mola Haaretz Deya Es Hashem Kamayim Layam Mechasim Bayom Ha'u Yeh Hashem Echad Bila Amoves Lanetzach Umacha Hashem Elokim Dima Me'al Kupanim.
I'm gonna try to keep it together. Chaim would think it was funny. Thank you. I think that I'm starting to understand what David HaMelech felt when he was Mekonein Hatzvi Yisrael Abba Mosecha Chalal. Ich naflu giborim. Parshanim over there explain it's not just that Shaul and Yehonasan were giborim b'milchama, warriors, but that they were spiritual giants whose zechusim stood for all of Knesset Yisrael. My little brother. He was a gibor. Long ago. He got bigger and stronger than me. In all sorts of ways. Feel a deep sense of Tzar li alecha, achi. Gemara tells us that Tanoi met Eliyahu HaNavi at the entrance of a city, and they asked him who in the city is a Ben Olam Abba. Eliyahu HaNavi pointed out a certain fellow, and when asked what that fellow does that makes him a Ben Olam Abba, fellow responds that he makes other people happy. When people are sad, he elevates them. You didn't have to know Chaim long to feel his sense of Chaim. He was the one in our family who always picked us up. He can make everybody happy. My parents are fond of saying that Kishmo Kenhu, that he was filled with Chaim. The truth is, if you did know him well, and you got beyond the Chaim, then you would have met the Yisachar, because he was also Chamur Gorev. When Vayar Menucha Kitov, when he saw that something was right, when he set his mind that something was correct, you could not move him off it. He was Vayet Shechno Nisbo, Vayil Masoved. He worked on it. He saw it through. What he worked on the most was his sense of emuna. He would have called it emuna pshuta, but it was not pashut at all. It was deep. It was complex. The Rabbeinu Sadia Gaon in his Sefer HaMitzvos does not count the mitzvah of emuna as a command. I think the general understanding is that he believed that emuna is a foundational piece. You cannot have a command if you don't have emuna. It does not make sense. It doesn't fit. Emuna is the foundation upon which all other commands can then be piled up on top of. And the emuna was the foundation of Chaim's life. Emuna was the foundation of his essence and of his being. It was not just the foundational emuna. It was emuna with all the malos. The Rambam, the Ramban, they both count emunah as a mitzvah, although their understanding of emunah is slightly different. The Ramban writes in Parshas Bo, "Shein elo yon chafetz batachtonim, elo sheyeda v'sheyode." God wants nothing with us in this world, but that we should recognize that God created us. As they called from the Rambam's Perush HaMishnah and Ani Mamids that we say after davening, to believe that a Kadosh Baruch Hu is Bore. But the Ramban continues. He says, "Shein la'adam chilek b'toras Moshe Rabbeinu ad shenamin b'chol dvareinu mikreinu shekulam nisim. Ein bohem teva u'min hago shel olam." It's not just the belief that a Kadosh Baruch Hu is Bore, but again, as they called from the Rambam's Perush HaMishnah, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Manhig. Chaim, you certainly felt that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Bore, and that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Manhig. He was actively involved in every element of your life. I remember talking to you after you relapsed. I was not having a good day. I remember us discussing in the rhetorical Hayad Hashem Tiktzar. When I left you this past Tuesday, you said to me, "Don't give up." In Yiyush. But your emunah was more than that, even. Because the smack in their chinuch, in their formulations of the mitzvah of emunah, they add not only that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world and not only that he's involved in the world, but they add in part of the mitzvah of Emunah a belief that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the Torah of Kabbalah Satorah on Har Sinai. I think the understanding is that the Snak and the Chinuch believed, and their formulations are also a little bit different from each other. I think the understanding is that they believed that part of Emunah is not just that God created the world, involved in the world, but also that he gave us direction in the world. And Chaim, your Emunah was your direction. It led you to Rabbeim with shailas about anything and everything. Anything that would happen in life was something that you would discuss with your Rabbeim. So that I am very certain that for you, the Pesach of your Rabbanim, Tov Lecha Toras Pihem, Me'al Feizah V'chasef, it was gold. You know, I think it's fitting. At the end of your life, we try to add the name Yosef. You know, Chaim liked that a lot. He liked the Yosef a lot. He used it. He liked that his initials were Yechi. Yosef Chaim Yisachar. You know, Yechi, it means that somebody else should have life. He should have life. I don't know if Chaim thought this through so much, but maybe he liked it so much because he was also always adding. To add life to others, you know, when Rachel calls her son Yosef, it appears from the Torah that she does so based on two different Hebrew roots. One is Asaf. The other is Yosef. Asaf means to gather, to bring together. Yosef means to add more. We haven't the slightest idea of why this all happened. I'll tell you something that's given me strength. I believe that God sends us things in life to wake us up to His hand in our lives. And it's given me strength knowing that Chaim was me'asef and mosif. Maybe HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose Chaim because Chaim was me'asef. He gathered together so many different people, so many different places. He gathered people back together. And he was mosif. He caused them to add in their tefillah, to add in their Torah, to add in their tshuva. I do know, that from that asifa, from this asifa, and from that tosefes, Chaim gathered tremendous amounts of strength. And I pray that from that asifa, and from the continued tosefas, God should provide us with comfort. But for now, Tzarli Alecha Achi Chaim Yisachar Ben Yechiel Zeidodov Tehinis Mashal Shura B'tzura Chaim Yisuchuso Yagin Aleinu V'alko Yisra.
How does one begin? How does one begin to say Hesped for such a big yid? Svarim point out, Acher Emos Kadoshim, people who go through life, Acher Emos, try to find some Kadosh in their life, try to reflect on things maybe that they did. This was not a case of Acher Emos Kadosh. Chaim was one of the biggest people I think many of us knew in a lot of ways. You can't summarize that in 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 20 minutes, an hour. The only thing I could offer is what I was zochah to see this past Thursday when I had the schus of seeing Chaim one last time. Not really believing that it was the last time. I think maybe his parents had a feeling. And I thank them for giving me the opportunity to spend a few private minutes with them. Chazer over all the lessons that he taught me. To see the dignified manner he carried himself. It's not stam that he was niftar with a yarmulke on his head. His hair was gone, but his pais were very much there. I'm not sure anyone could explain that medically, but I think we all understand. Everything about him was so dignified. It was never about him. In the beginning, it was never about him. He still wouldn't want it to be about him. When he was first diagnosed, I went over to the house, sitting with him. He was upstairs. As we all know, he didn't care about himself. He could care less. He cared about his family. He wanted Tal to be okay. I promised him, being so close, physically, emotionally, I promised that I would be there for Tal, for Nassim, for Ora, for the whole family. I didn't really keep that promise. My wife would always tell me, I should play more with Nassim, I should play more with Ora. Why? I have a father, he's getting better. He asked Nassim what his father was doing in the hospital, he's getting better. And he meant it, and Tal meant it, Chaim's parents meant it, and we all meant it. Muna wasn't a magnet. It was also a magnet, but it wasn't a magnet. I'm standing here before Chaim. Now I have to be makabel with the problems.
Don't have to say it, Rabin. We all know. You know exactly what I want.
And what you want.
We don't have to talk about what it is. We all saw the chinuch that you wanted to give your children. Dignity that he thanked his mother on that Thursday as I was standing there. She was mixing him a drink, some ice, some grape juice. He was so thankful. As if someone was doing him the biggest favor in the world. Mother caring for her son. With a smile, with a thumbs up. A woman came in to change the garbage. Chaim could barely talk. There's fluid in his lungs. And he thanked her with such, he exerted himself from his broken state to thank her and to say to her, "What's wrong? You look a little bit sad." And she said, "I'm okay, honey, now that I see you, I'm okay." He said, "You have to smile." And he was smiling. She took her garbage and she left the room with a big smile on her face. You couldn't ask Chaim how he was doing. He wasn't interested. He was interested in what I was up to. He was excited about shiurim I was giving. He always wanted to know what was the most recent thing. Sometimes he had a chance to listen, sometimes not. And it was always Torah. Aaron saw it. Chaim was very real, but the Yisachar was very, very real. He could not talk on Thursday. And he only wanted to share Divrei Torah with me, to hear Divrei Torah from me. And he asked me, he said, "What's my avoda?" So he said, "Chaim, I've told you a million times from the Avnei Nezer, your avoda is the avoda of every chola. And a chola has one mitzvah, which is to take care of himself." And he smiled and asked me again, "Yeah, but what's my avoda?" I said, "How many people lie in a hospital bed for 2 months and command, like a general, a campaign, but slowly, not there yet, but we're working on it, slowly working its way around the world?" I said, "Your avoda is to get better. You're doing a lot more than that, but your avoda is to get better." And then he asked me, he said, "What was that niggun? What was that niggun that we used to sing? Did I have a Pesach niggun?" I said, "Of course you had a Pesach niggun." So he says, "I've been racking my brain. What was the Pesach niggun?" "Your beautiful niggun. Chol dor vador, chayav adam, liros esatzmo." Too embarrassed to sing in front of him in his life. I'm not going to sing it for him now. I sing it for him then. His Yitzias Mitzrayim nigun. And he was so besimchon. He came back to him, and I think in a sense he was ready to sing the nigun for his Yitzias Mitzrayim. The Meitzar. The walls of Sloan Kettering Hospital. I want to just share the last Dvar Torah I ever shared with Chaim, because he would want that. You couldn't talk to Chaim about Chaim, no matter how hard you tried. This Thursday, this year Thursday night, which Chaim used to love to come to. So he said, "Rabbi," that's what he called me, that's what I called him. I said, "Rabbi, what are you speaking about tonight?" Shkocha had it very well. Kaddish Baruch was very smart. So I said to him, "I'm speaking about the topic of friends. Some Torah thoughts on friends.
So he says, like me and you? So I said, yeah, like me and you. He started to doze off. I told him the last Mar Makom of the Shir that I never gave. Because Baruch Hashem, I spent my time with him instead. This was the last Torah we shared together. And it's so perfect. Pasuk says in Mishlei, Re'acha V're'a V'icha Al Tazov. Your friend and your father's friend do not abandon. Chaim is dozing off. Maybe I knew something that I didn't really know. And I said, I'm not letting him doze off. So I said, Chaim, who's Re'acha? Who's your friend? And he was dozing. And I said, Chaim, who's your friend? I said, Chaim, you know who your friend is. I said, it's a chassidish pshat, which I know you'd like, but it's a Rashi initially. I said, Chaim, who's your friend? So he said, the Rebbe Shalom. I said, it's a Rashi says. I said, who's Re'a Avicha? Who's your father's friend? And again, he started to doze. I said, Chaim, who's your father's friend? I said, Chaim, you know who your father's friend is. He said, the Rebbe Shalom. Yeah. So now our good friend Chaim Yisachar and Yechiel Zedel Dov, as much as he was a best friend to all of us, he had another best friend. Not just his best friend, it's our best friend. And he'd want us to see the Rabbanu Shalom in that way. Chaim's father said by the Levaya that the last thing in the world that Chaim would want from all of us is to show signs of Yeish and to be broken. I sat with his mother on Thursday while I was sleeping. She told me another Dvar Torah from Chaim. Said the Yitzhar works so hard to get us off track. And sometimes we go off track. Right now, we're very off track. But like Chaim told his mother, and like she told me, and I'm telling you, and you'll pass it on, the Iker is to get back on track. And to build, to do all the things that every single one of us knows Chaim would want to do. Poskim say that when you're in the presence of the Niftar before the Kura, they can hear everything you say. I only have a minute more to say. I'm sure people have their own things to say to Chaim. But I just want to apologize for the little things, the big things that I didn't do. As we got on the plane, I was annoyed at myself. Chaim will be mochel. I was annoyed I didn't have an Amuna magnet in my pocket. But I thought a little more, I would have slapped it right on the side of the plane. Chaim knows I could have pulled it off. And then the bigger things. For not visiting you enough. Didn't want to be Makabal this day. So thank you for everything you taught us. You taught us how a Yid lives with Amuna. You taught us how a Yid leaves this world with Amuna. You taught us what it means, the Rosh Yeshiva said, to be Makabal Yisur Ba'ava. Which not a lot of people know how to do. He taught us to love our friend, the Rabbanu Shalom, in all situations. He taught us to say good Purim. No matter what it was, to mean it. So I'll be Messiah. Rabbi Pinchas Ben Yair, the dear relative of Rishon Bar Yochai, was changing his bandages. And he saw his broken skin. He saw everything he had been through. He saw the world that he made for himself in that cave. In that dark cave. Pinchas Ben Yair said to Rabbi Shimon, Oyeli shere yisicha b'kach. It's rachmanis to see you like this. Rabbi Shimon wouldn't tolerate that, the same way you wouldn't. Omerle, hashrecha. Hashrecha shere yisani b'kach. We're lucky to have seen you like this. Shemalei l'ri sari b'kach l'matzasa b'kach. Because we've not been zocha to see you like this. The full depth of who you are, we never would have seen. Yirtzeh Hashem, as we cry, not just a cup of tears, like many people said. It's not the tradition in Chaim's world. Chaim's world was the Maisa, the ocean of tears. The story that he told like no one else could. Mishpizach the merit. The neshama of Chaim Yisachar ben Yechiel Zedel Dov should join all the tzaddikim in the olamos. Should join Rabbi Shimon and all the tzaddikim. We think about this time of year. Lag BaOmer. Yom Tov that Chaim understood, like many of us, unfortunately don't. We should be zocha. Like the Shari Sachar, and the Munkach writes. He writes Ramazan by Lag BaOmer, the Gematria Mechaim Mason. We should be zocha to see it Bekarov. We're mamish gonna miss you. In Shbazo, Tzur, Bitzur HaChaim. Tzadikim afil bimisasam nikru chayim.